bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Adam Bandt, the federal member for the seat of Melbourne for the Greens. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning.
And congratulations, yes. Adam. It's your second time as the elected rep.
Third time.
Yeah.
It's thank you very much. Yeah, and nice. It looks like we've increased our vote as well. So I'm very, very pleased.
Two-party preferred, mate. You're sitting on 56%. That's pretty nice. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think it seats, as we're seeing around the country, seats on margins bigger than that can change hands pretty quickly. So I think anyone who thinks there's a safe seat is sort of kidding themselves. But it's a nice endorsement of what we've been doing, that people wanted me back and wanted me back in with a bigger vote. Mm.
It is. Look, one of the questions I want to ask him, and we've seen votes for other than the two large parties. I'm not going to say minor parties because some of you are not. Over 20% in this election. And I'm interested as to why Labor and the Coalition, why their vote has pretty much, I'm going to say collapsed, but it's not in the area that they want it to be. What is it, you know, not just for the Greens, but you know, there are other parties that are, you know, that have got some sizable votes. Why do you think that is, Adam?
Well, I think over the last, I guess, say 30 years, on so many of the issues that matter, the two old parties have moved closer and closer together. So refugees, for example, thinking about equal marriage, we're having the campaign because Labor and Liberal voted together sort of a decade ago to change the definition of marriage in the Marriage Act. On a lot of the economic questions, they've moved closer and closer together. And I think over time, people are rejecting that and saying, no, we actually want different voices in Parliament. We would like our oppositions to oppose from time to time. We'd like to have Parliament being a contest of ideas, but also one where there's a variety of voices that are represented. And it's not just Australia, it's happening around the world as well. Now, that variety of voices, there's a lot of people who are saying things that aren't always savoury or that you'd necessarily agree with, but I think there is a growing sense that when you have two parties that are different, of course they're still different, but on so many things that matter, they work together in lockstep. I think people are getting a bit fed up with it.
We've seen in the seat of Batman, you guys came pretty close. I'm interested, particularly Melbourne Ports. Michael Danby's about 1% ahead of the Greens candidate. The Liberal candidate got 40-something percent. My problem with preferential voting in some cases is you end up with a result that isn't what the majority of voters intended in their first preferences. How do you feel if we had a system in Australia that did away with preferential voting? What do you think the outcome of that would be, which you have in the UK, for example?
I'd go for a third alternative. If you look at a number of European countries, they have what I think is a much more, or New Zealand, they have a much more democratic system where in the House of Government, if 10% of the population want the More Puppies Party, then the More Puppies Party gets 10% of the seats in Parliament. And you then have a situation where people have to work together because you have representation in Parliament that's proportional to the population. Mm. Maybe no one gets a majority. Maybe you have to have groups of people working together. But you can be guaranteed that your vote counts no matter where you live. If you're living in a safe seat at the moment and you decide that you don't want your incumbent there, for many people, for your vote in the lower house, people will think, oh, well, am I actually getting a voice? If you have a system of proportional representation, as they do in many European countries, as they do in New Zealand, then as they do in places like the ACT and Tasmania, then you can be guaranteed of that you will get a voice in Parliament, and you will then ask the various voices in Parliament to work together if no one has a majority. With preferential voting, I mean, one of the things we've seen this time is that Labor and Liberal worked together to try and keep the Greens out, and so in Batman we had to overcome the combined might of Labor and Liberal Party, as I did in Melbourne, with Labor and Liberal working together on preferences. And even with that, Alex Batal came incredibly close, or is coming incredibly close. We're still waiting on the final votes. In Melbourne Ports, we've got something akin to a real three-cornered contest going on there, where no one is. Some people are coming first, but the problem, I guess, with the approach that if you did away with preferences altogether, you might have a situation where, say, in Melbourne Ports, 60-65% of the vote is of the population says, look, we don't like the Liberals. At the moment, they're ahead on primaries on 40%, but if you just got them elected, then you wouldn't have the majority will of the population in Melbourne Ports, for example, getting represented. So I think we need that third system. But I'm still watching Melbourne Ports very, very closely, because the final votes, when they come in, will be very, very interesting.
Yes. Adam, it's Tass here. I'd like to take you back to the election and the campaign. And I'm interested in some of your reflections on what you think might have occurred. Clearly, the Liberal government was expecting to get through again, and they just scraped over the line, really. Let's be honest about it. What are your reflections about what contributed towards that?
Malcolm Turnbull made a devil's pact with the hard right of his party, and the hard right of his party insisted on their agenda continuing to prevail, and it was more or less rejected by people, I think. We saw that pretty early on with things like climate change. We saw it with his commitment when he just basically said, I'm going to take Tony Abbott's policies to the election. We saw it with the
marriage equality.
Continue to commit with the marriage equality. And I think for me, actually, in many ways, the tipping point was his response to safe schools. I mean, he was a program that was working well. There was no suggestions that it was running over budget or anything like that. It was working well. Along come the hard right of his party, the Conservatives, and agitate, and he caved in. Now, that's something he didn't have to do. That, for me, was a real litmus test of just how much power those hard Conservatives have in his party, including over him. And I think people saw him continue to capitulate, thought he might have been different, and then realised that it was still the same old people running the show. And I think people gave him a whack for it, and rightly so.
And this idea that the Labor Party was actually scaring the electorate around the Medicare stuff, what's your view about that?
Well, I think we saw the government try to, in its first budget with Tony Abbott, try to balance the books by letting the top end of town off and continuing to get unfair tax breaks and making everyone else pay more to go and see the doctor, or putting up the cost of university degrees. Now, that was a big part of the reason that Tony Abbott got kicked out. But the government continued under Malcolm Turnbull to find ways of cutting the amount of money that was going into Medicare. Now, and they did that through continuing what Labor had done, the previous government, which is to pause the increase in the amount of money that's going to doctors for Medicare. Now, I mean, it's significant because it's effectively, you'll remember that Tony Abbott tried to introduce a co-payment and make it up front and say you're going to have to pay $6, I think it was, or $7 additional off the top. The way of getting the co-payment in by stealth is just you stop the amount of money that the doctors get. You stop the rise in that.
Yep.
Now, that's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. And I think the suggestion that they were trying to privatise it maybe was a bit over-egged. I think what the government actually wanted to do was scary enough, which is to hack away at universal healthcare. So I think it's something that people were right to be concerned about. Was the scare campaign a little bit over the top? Possibly. Is the Liberal government still wanting to attack universal healthcare? Yes.
Yeah. Look, we've run out of time, Adam. It's a really interesting discussion, that in safe schools. I want to thank you for making the time. Let's have you on again soon, because it's really important for our listeners that we get an absolute diversity of view. Congratulations.
And can I just say very briefly, I think one of the reasons that I was re-elected was around issues of equal marriage and equality. It's something that we put up in lights in the campaign, and I think if there's one thing to take from this election, my election result and the election result generally, it's that people want us to legislate before the end of the year and just get on with it.
Yes, no doubt.
We agree. Thank you so much, Adam Bandt, Federal Member for Melbourne for the Greens.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.